If you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4. The title of our lesson tonight is The Bible Has a Prescription for That. The Bible has a prescription. Now, as we grow older, most of us begin to take prescriptions for different things. Cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, and other things. But there are prescriptions for things that ail us spiritually, and they can be found in the Word of God. And the first thought, number one, is fear. Fear. Probably you realize that fear is both a noun and a verb. It's something people do, and it's something they action also. Luke 21:26 says, men's hearts failing them for fear. What causes fear? Well, uncertainty is probably the main culprit. Many people are fearful now because they are uncertain, but also certainty can cause fear. We know something is going to happen, and it can cause fear. Jude, the 23rd verse says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We realize that if someone does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they will spend eternity in hell, and that can create a fear that someone will spend eternity in hell. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. To fear the enemy, to fear Satan. So there is a prescription. It is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Love is important in our lives. We talked about it this morning, that we are to love our neighbors. That if we were to love like we should, a lot of rules and laws would be removed from our books today because they would be unnecessary. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, 1 John 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Realize, if you know Christ as your Savior, that the Lord will give you strength in tough times, difficult times. During the times of coronavirus, he will give us peace of mind. 1 John 5, verse 4, 1 John 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, comma, even our faith. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? If not, it's not uncommon for people to be fearful, and we see a lot of fear in today's society. Fear. Number two, heartaches. Heartaches. If you look up the word heartache in the thesaurus, you'll find the thoughts of mental anguish. And there are people that have mental anguish because of what is happening, not just with the virus and not just with the unrest in our society, but because of things that are happening in their homes. People that are addicted to alcohol, drugs, those who are addicted to gambling, those who are addicted to pornography, those who are dealing with a husband or wife that's being immoral. There are fears and heartache. There is sorrow and pain, regret. These are all thoughts that go along with the idea of heartache. Regret is something that Satan plays on all the time. He uses guilt to bring us down, and regret, wishing that we had been better. Woe, despair, suffering, heartache. So the prescription is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 61 And if you would turn there, we'll read two verses from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The Lord is able to help us with heartaches. He came to get peace and comfort. He came to give love and joy bountifully. Number three would be pride. This pride is the pride that is sinful. Like I said at the 6 o'clock hour, there is a good pride. Pride is showing that we are proud to be Americans. Proud that we are members of the Covenant Baptist Church. So there's good pride. But this is not that pride. 1 Timothy 3, verse 6, where it's talking about the qualifications of the pastor, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Pride leads to bad things if we get built up and think we're better than what we really are. 1 John chapter 2, we've been in 1 John chapter 4 and 5. Now we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world and the Lord are at battle, because the world wants to bring down God. He wants to put God into a box. But our God is far too big to be in a box. And how often pride gets in the way of our serving the Lord. If you would, the book of Isaiah again, chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And we'll talk here about Lucifer. And how that Lucifer, because of pride, was removed from heaven. And it says in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning at verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Pride brought Satan down. He appealed to the pride of Eve in the Garden of Eden. "You can be like a god." Pride will get us into trouble. A sister verses to this thought are found in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28, and I'll begin reading at verse 15 and then also verse 17. It says in verse 15, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Well, what was that iniquity? What was that sin? Verse 17, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." Oftentimes, people that are physically gifted, be it the beauty that they may have or some knowledge or ability in sports or whatever, pride enters in and it takes control and it corrupts them and it brings them down. So the prescription is found in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I know we're going back and forth, but that's all right, because you know where 1 Peter is. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. And we've talked about fear and heartaches, and now we're at pride. And it says in chapter 5, verse 5, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Notice, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Now, we don't like that idea. We believe that we should have the right to feel the way we want, human nature being what it is. But pride is something that God detests. James 4:6 says, God resisteth the proud. And so that is the prescription, to be humble in the sight of the Lord. Number four, selfishness. If you look up the word selfishness in the thesaurus, you come up with self-seeking, excessive self-indulgence, stinginess. We find it in today's society. I want it, and there's no one that's going to tell me I shouldn't get it. Achan said, I want it, and I'm going to take it. He took the gold and the silver and the goodly Babylonian garment. We think of Jonah, who said, I won't be told what to do, even by the Lord himself. Cain said, God has no right to tell me no. Selfishness. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And then we all know about Judas, who said, I want those 30 pieces of silver, even if it means betraying my Lord. If you would, the prescription can be found in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through verse 37. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Selfishness. We all have to fight that dreaded curse of selfishness. Self first will get us into trouble. Which brings us to number five, lust. Lust, wrong desires. Desiring that which is wrong. Lasciviousness. Carnal thoughts and carnal desires. Wantonness. Samson wanting the women of the world got him into deep trouble. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 5 warned his son of strange and seducing women. Again and again, the Bible warns against fornication and adultery. It warns against the love of money. Lust. The prescription can be found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's the one that we desire to follow, the Spirit or the flesh. And the flesh will lead us into lustful areas. The Bible continues in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Lust. It leads us down the wrong trail. It leads to destruction. It corrupts. It destroys. But there is a prescription. Walk right. Do right. Which leads us to number six. anger. Anger, as we know, is rage, hostility, fury, unreasonableness. What causes anger? Well, a lack of respect. You could ask that about Nebuchadnezzar. He said, all will bow down when the music plays, and you'll bow down to the golden idol that I have set up. He was upset when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, sir, we will not bow down. The Bible talks about his wrath. Resentment leads to anger. We resent what other people have. Other people have gotten some type of notoriety or praise, and we think we should have gotten it. Resentment. Jealousy. We're going to talk about jealousy in just a moment. Jealousy. Upset again at what someone has. Oh, many times I've heard a sister jealous of her sister or brother, or a brother jealous of his siblings, or even parents jealous of their children. People jealous of one another leads to anger. Not wanting another to succeed. Isn't that sad when we don't want someone to succeed and we become angry? Annoyance, embarrassment, bitterness. Jealousy never stands alone. It leads to bitterness. And bitterness never stands alone. It always leads to anger. So jealousy will lead to bitterness, and bitterness will lead to anger. So what is the prescription? Well, turn over to the next book, the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. It's like any sin. You have to get it out, roots and all. And it can be very painful. Some people, they love to be angry. They're angry all the time. And it destroys them. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let me tell you that one of the best ways to get rid of anger, to get rid of bitterness, to get rid of jealousy, is to pray for that person. Pray, asking the Lord's blessing on that person. Taking your eyes off yourself and giving them over to the Lord. It will help you with anger in your life. It will help you if you will do this. Number 7. And I thought to myself, what should be the 7th thought? There are many things that you could say are ailing you spiritually. And we don't have time to go into all of them, but I thought we would do the lack of spiritual commitment. May I say that is one of the reasons we have discontent in churches today, because people are not spiritually committed. They look at other people and they say, well, they should be doing more. When reality, all of us should be doing more. We need to have spiritual commitment. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Are we laboring for the cause of Christ? Are we doing that which is right? And then he tells us, go ye into all the world. Now I realize that I cannot go to the countries of the world, but I can provide financially so that missionaries can go, so that they can take the gospel. Are we committed to the saving of souls both here in Michigan and in the United States of America and around the globe. Are we committed? Do we have spiritual commitment? And the prescription can be found in the book of Psalms, chapter 126. Psalm 126, if you would please. And we'll look at the prescription for a lack of spiritual commitment. We'll read verses 5 and 6. The psalmist writes, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." The Bible tells us that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth, notice, he that goeth forth and weeping, or weepeth. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. See, it says there, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Bible has a prescription for what ails us spiritually. Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to take the prescription? Are you willing to give up the lack of spiritual commitment, the anger, the lust, the selfishness, the other three of pride, heartaches, and fear? The Bible has a prescription, but it only works if we use it, if we're willing to use it. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that may be watching this evening. Lord, we hope that the words given were of encouragement. And help us, Lord, if we have issues in our life, to take the spiritual prescriptions that are found in the Word of God. And help us, Lord, to follow you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.